It is now my great pleasure to invite Mark H to come on in and share with us. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Mary. Hi, guys. My name's Mark. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm just a little bit fearful, so I just want to start with the set aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and new experience. Please help me see the truth. Please remove my fear. Your will, not mine, be done. Amen. My nan used to say, "If you fear, Mark, it's because you care." So, yeah, I'll just talk a little bit what life was like before OA, what it was like during the process, and what life's like now. So, yeah, thank you for everyone doing service as well and keeping us safe in the meeting. So, I had a really traumatic childhood, and I'm the survivor of domestic, physical, and sexual abuse. And I was born into a family where I wasn't wanted. My real father, he wanted me aborted and put up for adoption. And thankfully, my mum said no, and she was my rock throughout my life. And she was an untreated addict who never found recovery before she died in 2021 of a heart attack, ultimately from this disease. She was a compulsive overeater, become restrictor. And I grew up on the breadline, and I went to many different schools as my mum would get itchy feet, and she would try, the geographical cure that it talks about in the big book, and always thought the grass would be greener. But it wasn't, and the problems followed. And because I now know, thanks to program, that the problem's in my mind, I know that that doesn't work. I'd make best friends with the dinner ladies at school. Get seconds and thirds, and I'd eat super farms as a kid when I didn't know where my next meal was coming from, And my mum was an untreated addict, of course, all of our money goes on our addictions. And God bless my nan, who was my hero throughout my life. And she'd always bail us out and go and get us like a £25 Iceland shop. And I remember, the electric being shut off and having like one tin of something in the cupboard to last us a week. And, being really fearful, not knowing where food would come from next. So being a victim and being beaten, tormented, and abused by my father and my mum, having a stream of unworthy men who treated her so badly, I quickly learned that food was my only solution as a kid. It was the only thing that wouldn't let me down. And I could eat because of all of that trauma I've just mentioned, sorry, or because it's Thursday or Sunday, I didn't need any reason to eat. I remember, one time being beaten so bad by my real, sorry, let me start that again. The fear's really rife. Let me just, oh God, please remove my fear. So yeah, I remember one time my mum was being beaten by my real dad, and I was under my metal bed, pushed up against the door. And I remember thinking at that point, I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, thinking I need to get as big as I possibly can so I can fight him off. And a few years later, I got sexually abused, and I kept quiet for 3 years because I had the promise of getting food, and I'd fantasize about it that I could eat all of the food I possibly could get my hands on. And fast forward throughout my life, I then become a chef. I spent most of my 20s working in bars and restaurants, and there was an abundance of food at my disposal. And I could manipulate or get anyone to love or like me so that I could get the food that I wanted. I've eaten burnt food, stale food, I've eaten out of date food, food that's been off the floor. I've stolen food, I've begged for food, and I'd go any lengths to manipulate anyone I could to get food. And I had such an unmanageable life after, working in the catering industry for a while. I used drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes very heavily. And then I moved to Spain in 2014. And, I become violently mentally ill whilst I was in Spain, and I drank 48 cans of cheap energy drinks within a few days and become really manic. And I'd been on the island a few months at that point, so I was really tanned, and I couldn't even talk in audible language. I was so manic and so ill. I was put in an asylum in the north part of the island, which wasn't very touristy. There wasn't very many people that spoke English there. I'd lost my passport. I'd had no phone. The job that I had when I was out there, I'd resigned from. I was beaten by the police as well whilst I was out there, and I was being tied to the bed and having my diapers changed. And I remember the first time I ever, oh, the emotions come in. I remember the first time I heard my nan's voice on the phone after a few months. It was just like a real comforting thing for me. And then I got flown back to the UK, and I got put into a hospital over here in the UK, which seems like a really like a Disneyland compared to the hospital that I'd been in the US, in the US, sorry, in Spain. And I'd been in the hospital here for a few weeks, and in 2015, I was in the deepest, darkest depression of my entire life. I was heavily medicated, and I didn't laugh that entire year, and I just kept eating and eating, and I ate myself up to 28 stone 12. There's £14 in the stone if you want to do the math. And the food stopped working, and my life was really unmanageable. The blood blisters, the chub rub, the breathlessness, the aches and pains, constantly sweating. It was hell, and I wanted to die. Every night I'd pray that I didn't wake up in the morning. And I tried everything to lose weight, the pills, the potions, the books, the diet clubs, slimming clubs, nothing worked. I heard about OA in 2017, and I come to my first meeting, and I got some identification, and then I heard the word God and was like, nope, I'm off. But the seed was planted then. And then I come in lockdown, and thank God for Zoom. I binged meetings, and I worked the steps a few different times. And the view from the top of the mountain is all the same. We just all develop, learn, and grow differently. And I think that's why there's many different ways to work the steps. There's no right or wrong way as long as you're still working them. And I had some brief recovery in 2020, and then I relapsed. And I've had three major relapses. And the reason I relapsed was because I stopped working the program. I stopped using the tools, going to meetings, stopped outreaching. And my disease would say, I've got this, I've got this. And I've got the only disease that tells me I haven't got a disease. If I've got arthritis, I feel the pain, I accept that. For me, if I've got diabetes, I accept how to take my medication. I accept that. But with compulsive eating, my head would always say it's a good idea to have a little bit of something. I like to think that the disease is like like a lion at a watering hole, and it's waiting there to pounce at me when I'm at my most vulnerable, and the disease tells me that sorry, the big book tells us that disease gets progressively worse, never better, and that's absolutely been my experience. When I relapsed, I went up to 32 stone 9, which is £464, and I never thought to get to 32 stone. My mum got to 32 stone when I was a kid, and I said I'd never get that big. I'd never allow myself to be that big. But I'm powerless over food. I've got a sick brain, and I've got a physical allergy, the mental obsession, and a spiritual malady. My last relapse before I come back into program, I was trying the weight loss injections, but not, my disease has got that ism, it always wants a little bit more. And I got it off of a friend off of social media, and I was injecting myself with, I have no idea what was in this clear vial, and it made me feel like rubbish. And my sponsor at the time, she's a friend as well from the very beginning I've ever been in OA, she. She said, how's your life working out for you now, Mark? And I said, it's not. She said, so what have you got to lose? So I come back into program. I'm really grateful for the line, it says in our literature, a life beyond our wildest dreams, because that line kept me coming back after every slip, trip, or fall. And it says in the big book that God doesn't make too hard of jobs for those who earnestly seek him. And I had to really create a rehab at home situation. What does that mean? That meant for me getting a sponsor, getting a food plan, using the tools, not having the binge foods in my house, getting enough sleep, not putting myself in danger. Like if I go to a barber's and I hang around and they're long enough, I'm going to get a haircut. So if I've not got a genuine reason to be there, I don't need to be there. I don't go and chill in a Baker's for the day. It's just making sure that I'm giving myself the best possible chance of recovery. And going to any lengths means just that, recovery isn't convenient and I have to keep just focused on my next right action. I've not got to see the whole picture today, just the next right action. And the amount of time I used to think about food, like dream about it, fantasize about it, I've got to work my recovery double as hard because, with work the program, like my hair's on fire because I've got to be under no delusion that this disease will get me into £600 and carers will be wiping my bed sores. And it wants me dead no matter what. It doesn't care what I'm going through, what I'm feeling. And for me, as a real compulsive overeater, there's only one solution. In the big book, it tells us there is a solution, not that there's multiple, there's just one. There's only two doors. Even today, in the modern medicine world, there's nothing else to cure addicts. Granted, there's things that could probably help you soothe, but there's nothing that will cure you. This is the only thing that works. And that's why it's not changed. And I think the last time I looked, there's something like 119 different fellowships based on the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I've got to work the steps. It's like if I just go to meetings, it's like if I just go to a doctor's and sit in the waiting room, if I don't go in and see the doctor and get the medication I need, I'm not going to get well. I can go and sit in the doctor's room as much as I like, but I won't get well. If I just go to meetings and don't put the action in and work the steps, I'm not going to recover. So I just wanted to sort of touch on step four as I was so afraid of step four when I first come into program. There was such a massive fear around it. And I heard a really powerful speaker one day said to me, Mark, just focus on the step you're on. It's like career day at school. If you want to become a policeman and I'm in, first or second grade, I've got a lot of steps to take to get there. I haven't got to worry about that today. I'm just focusing on the step I'm on. And I haven't got to do it on my own, my higher power, my sponsor, and all of my tribe that are here. You're all with me. It was a really powerful step for me, doing step four, and it really opened my eyes. And I just had to get through it, because staying in a step long for too long, staying in step four for too long is like sitting in a dirty nappy or a diaper, you guys call them. I just need to get through it. It's not comfortable, and I'm powerless over people, places, and things. And the only thing I can do is clean my side of the street. And the common denominator in all of my step fours was me. I was resentful at every single person, every single thing, every single place it felt like. And, I just have to realize that it's not personal to me. It is what it is. We are where we are, is what my sponsor says to me. And I use it as a mantra all of the time. And then step nine is where the magic happens for me. There's just step four and nine are the steps that I feel like I most feared the most. Making amends to people I've wronged. It takes time to make amends and pray for the willingness for some people. I have to really be genuinely serious and sincere about making the amends. And I had to run every amends past my sponsor because I've got no right to hurt others to benefit myself again. And it was a really powerful step nine, but some people didn't accept my amends, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You don't accept it, that's okay. Thank you. I've cleaned my side of the street. And, it's not up to me how they take it. And I continue to live since steps 10, 11, and 12 today. I do step 10s as and when they come up for me. I share them with my sponsor because resentment is a luxury of normal men that I do not have. I eat over my resentments. I do it. My sponsor said to me before that the only wrong way to do step 10 is not to do it. What's life like today? So I'm grateful today for OA. My sponsor and OA and my higher power have saved my life today. Having an attitude of gratitude has turned my life around. You've got the two wolves, the negative critic, fill in the blank wolf, or you've got the good, serene, happy wolf, and the one I focus on is the one that will win, if that makes sense. And I wasn't always grateful in the beginning. I'm not grateful I've got a house or I've got water or what have you. And actually, I remember someone saying to me, Mark, someone in the world somewhere is wishing for the life that I've got today. Some people don't know where their next glass of clean water is coming from or their grain of rice. I've got so much to be thankful for today. And every day may not be a good day, but there's good to be found in every day. And on the 24th of this month, I'll be 19 months sober. And that is a power doing for me what I've not done for myself, because I couldn't stay sober an hour. My higher power has helped me say goodbye. It's been a gradual process for me. The longer I've been in program, the more that's gone down. I put down sugar and my trigger foods in the very beginning. Alcohol and drugs went down. And then, I had a diet soda addiction that I drunk 8, 10 liters plus a day, moved from bottles to cans because I couldn't keep track. That was really tough. Cigarettes is down almost 3 years. And sometimes I'll get that, oh, I could just have one. But I know if I took one puff, I'd be back on it. And I really like smoking. I did, but my higher power wanted more for me. Really wanted more for me. And social media I had to put down because I'm, just scrolling toxic. Scrolling constantly just kept me away from higher power. Toxic relationships and boundaries I've implemented, and I've lost about £150 today. I've still got a while to go, but I was the weight of three people, and I give my weight up to my God, and I actually now weigh and measure my food, which I was never willing to do in the very beginning. That's diet mentality. But it is enough, and it will always be enough. And I've got a life in my wildest dreams today. I have freedom from food obsession 98% of the time. Sometimes I get the food faults and then I just have to take the action. I can't control the faults, but I can take the action. And I love silence today. I get up at 5 a.m. in the UK every morning. And I spend an hour connecting to my God, to my higher power, and doing my spiritual readings. And any day in recovery is far better than any day in the food. And recovery is a gift. It's simple but not easy. And having an attitude of gratitude really helps. I do a gratitude list every morning and I share it with my sponsor. No, I share it with just me and my higher power in my journal. Freedom from food obsession is worth its weight in gold just to have that quiet head. And I look at the world for a new pair of glasses today. I always look for the gratitude. And I've been in a bit of a flunk the past few days. It's coming up to the date of my mum's death, and my nan's birthday have both passed. And my pussycat is old and he's had some problems. He's been at the vets and there's just been a lot of stuff going on. My dad's health, all the stuff like that. And I care for him. But I have to eat over that today. The steps give me a solution to deal with life. It doesn't say it's going to be Disneyland. It doesn't say there's going to be no problems ever again. But I've got a program I can work, and it does pass. And being at this always makes me emotional every show I do. But being at peace with my mum, whoa, seeing that she did the best she could with what she had, having been through what she'd been through. And I couldn't do a better job was a miracle. I was so angry and hated my mum for so long. There was so much emotional blackmail, and I could do a 20-minute share on that. But to genuinely feel that in my heart was a miracle, because at her funeral, people were saying to me she was such a lovely person, Mark, and she was amazing. And I had no idea who they were talking about. I was like, okay, but I couldn't have done a better job. She'd gone through abuse. She couldn't talk for the first thing of her life. She had so much trauma. And I couldn't have done a better job. I couldn't. And that is a miracle of the program. I drank and I ate and I drugged and I smoked over my mum's stuff for so long. The freedom, the joy, the peace, the quiet head, the laughter, the love. It's just incredible. It is worth doing it. Recovery is worth it, and I'm blessed to have found OA. I really am. I you know you just need to work it because you're worth it. And if no one's told you today, you're loved, you're worthy, you're enough, and God doesn't make junk. And if you're struggling today or in relapse, or in shame, just keep coming back. That is the line. I don't always know what I need to do for the best of me, and if I don't want to take that action, it means I need to take that action. Yeah, I'm so blessed to be in
One
LA
minute
and
gentle
to
reminder, well, 42 second gentle reminder.
you. Thank you, Gloria. Thanks, lovely. I was hoping to have a chance to read the acceptance reading from the back of the book, but I don't think I will today. But it's on page 417. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. Because if I don't accept things, it says in the back of the book, I'll quickly just paraphrase, until I accept everything as being exactly the way they're supposed to be at this moment, I won't find peace or serenity. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. I can't see the bigger picture. He can. All I can see is my current scene. I just need to chop, fetch wood. No, oh my God, clean house, trust God, help others. And yeah, thank you so much for letting me share. I really appreciate it. Thank you.